Hello, welcome to NavyBMR.com, where we hope to advance your career. NavyBMR.com is an unofficial website and shall not claim to be, nor should it be assumed to be affiliated with the United States government, Department of Defense, or the United States Navy. Information contained herein is unclassified, is for reference and education only, and shall not be considered official policy or directive. Hello and welcome. My name is Steve, and I'll be your instructor today. Today we're going to be discussing Navy Education Training 14295 Bravo, specifically Chapter 10, Sterilization and Disinfection. Now, we tied a lot of what we're going to be talking about into the previous chapter, where we talked about the microorganisms and exactly what it is that we are combating when we want to make sure that all of our instruments and all of our areas, our surface areas, are going to be properly cleaned. But what we're going to talk about now is the actual processes and protocols and the assets or the tools that we have in place to accomplish that. I encourage you guys to follow along on a multimedia device available to you or have a printout of it where you can highlight, take notes. I would also recommend have Chapter 9 with you to reference because these are so directly correlating that some questions or concerns may be addressed doing that balancing act back and forth. So we've got one instruction that we're going to kind of touch on, and that's going to be the BUMED instruction 6600.10, and that's going to be the sterilization for a critical category, okay? That's going to be like your OR equipment, your shock trauma platoon. You may see some of that on a hospital ship, different humanitarian assets that travel around. So you got a little bit of a break. I know that we throw a lot of instructions at you over time. I say that a lot. Instructions are really rough to memorize, just like forms. I remember taking exams and everybody being frustrated about instructions and not being able to keep them straight. But this one, you got a little bit of a break. So disinfection. What is disinfection? Everyone has like those little Clorox wipes that you may keep under your kitchen sink. You pull them out, you wipe down your counter after you're done cooking some raw chicken. You maybe take some soap, you scrub down your cutting board, whatever it may be. And the term disinfection or disinfected is used often. But what is it? Well, what we're actually considering as disinfection is a less lethal process than sterilization. Less lethal to who, though? We're not talking about to us. We're talking more about the microorganisms that we are up against, or what the intent to remove is. So you have those wipes, the sprays, the different cleaning stuff that we have in our office or at home, and it always says 99.9%. Kills 99.9%. Why isn't it 100%? Well, it's disinfection. If it was sterilization, then you would be looking at the 100%. But, for example, disinfection kills microorganisms, but it won't kill bacterial spores. That would be part of that little sliver of a percent that it's not able to kill. So that is the actual term. That is the actual focus of and definition of disinfection that we're going to talk about for the Navy. So remember that as you take your exams. Now, how is this done? We have heat and we have chemical. So we're going to talk about a couple different of the chemicals before we get into the heat. Glutaraldehyde, okay, it's long, it's hard to say, takes a couple times if it's the first time seeing that. Glutaraldehyde is a soaking chemical, okay, as part of the chemical process. Soaking. So how are you going to remember that that's for soaking? It takes so long to say or to get down. It's such a long word. Okay, it takes a long time to sterilize. It is a soaking process. It does not happen right away. You throw your instruments in it and you let them soak and do their thing. Whereas your chlorodyne dioxide, okay, that's a surface rapid action or rapid response disinfectant. You can wipe something down, it's going to dry really quick, it's going to kill really quick. And so those are the two different types of chemicals that we're going to kind of concern with right there. So one is for soaking and one is going to be that surface rapid response or rapid action capability. All right, so our non-critical items. So think about like your ER, okay, or some of your forward deployed forces or assets in different regions around the globe, right? They're not necessarily going to be that definitive care. They're not going to be a full OR suite where they're able to do a large-scale multi-bed OR capability. But what you're going to look at is, for disinfection purposes, they're going to be an intermediate level. Okay, an intermediate level, you'll see a lot of those in certain humanitarian efforts. They have limited capabilities to perform comfort surgeries. You'll see like different dental assets will come out and maybe do some dental work or something in a region. Hernia repairs, so like smaller procedures that are not going to be as invasive compared to a full-blown OR capability that we would see in Iraq or Afghanistan or some of these other conflict areas that we are engaged in as a military force. Okay, so that's going to be non-critical, intermediate level. Okay, keep that in mind. All right, so those were some of the chemical components, but what we're going to talk about now is some of the heat. And we know that heat kills things. You can boil water, and you know you can kill some of the microorganisms in it. Well, for this purpose, we're going to throw some numbers, okay? So make sure you get a little chart in front of you, draw some lines, some boxes, whatever you want to do that best helps you. Get some flashcards. Flash sterilization, okay? Flash sterilization is going to be a very quick, very hot process. That's going to be 3 minutes at 270 degrees, okay? 3 minutes at 270. Whereas your dry heat sterilization, okay, is going to be the cheapest. Dry heat takes a little bit longer. And I emphasize cheap because everything we do in the Navy, everything we do in the government, regardless of what level of command you're at, what level of responsibility you are at personally, whatever it may be, everything is fiscally driven. Okay, you have to be responsible with your money when you're buying equipment, paying for training, paying for travel, purchasing gear, whatever it may be. So that is something that you may see more common than some of the other ones, depending on the size of the command and the number of patients that somebody may have rolling through that that office or that area of operations will dictate the sterilization capabilities they have. So if you go to Germany, where they're funneling all of our combat casualties out of, especially at the height of both Iraq and Afghanistan at the same time, the sterilization processes that they had in some of those ORs, they had a wide variety of different ones because of the turnaround of the multiple surgeries that they would be performing, even on a single service member. So dry heat is the cheapest and best for metal instruments, okay? And that's going to be 90 minutes at 320 to 345 degrees, okay? 320 to 345. Chemical vapor sterilization. Now, when we think about chemical vapor, we know that some of these chemicals are not good for our health. And we know that they're good for cleaning what we need. They're good for sterilizing and disinfecting the instruments that we're going to want to use, but we don't want to be exposed to them directly, right? So anytime we handle any of this stuff, we want to make sure we have our proper PPE that we addressed earlier in the previous chapter, right? So with this, what's unique about this one is the 20 to 40 minutes at 270 degrees, but you're also doing it at 20 PSI, okay? So anytime you see that, if you think on the exam, chemical vapor sterilization, you know you don't want to be exposed to those chemicals, okay? Because vapor, you know it's a gas, all right? And so you know, especially knowing that you have the 20 PSI, you know that you're going to have that airtight seal to maintain that pressure, okay? When we think about heat, you think about throwing a pizza in an oven, you know you're going to have that radiant heat coming out and it's going to heat up your kitchen. You know that. You're going to feel that. You're going to know the oven is on even with your back to it because you know the heat is going to escape. You want the opposite effect when you're using some of these chemical vapor sterilization processes. You don't want a room filling up with a sterilization vapor because cause damage to you, cause damage to your patient, can cause damage to utensils that are not supposed, or instruments that are not supposed to be exposed to a vapor of that sort. So keep that in mind. So we have another gas, okay? Your ethylene oxide. Ethylene oxide is another gas, okay? So we're going back to, however, this one is different. This one is going to be more more of a lengthy process, and you're looking at 4 to 12 hours, depending on the size of the instruments that you're trying to sterilize, okay? So think about some of the tools that orthopedists, for instance, use. Orthopedists have a great deal of metal instruments that are of considerable size based on whichever bone that they may be working on. And so that is going to change. That's why there's such a huge gap in the amount of utensils, and the size and the use of the utensils is going to vary. But our ethylene oxide is also going to be at 120 degrees. Now, the other kick is, so not only is it, you may get the lower end if you have a smaller amount and you're looking at a 4-hour window. However, you're still looking at up to 16 hours, okay, 16 hours of aeration time. Because again, you don't want all of that to be exposed. You want it to all settle. You want it to be able to be properly vacated through the ventilation systems in place of the sterilization process. So again, I encourage you, we have so many corpsmen across the Navy that work in so many different components of this vast healthcare system that we have. And so I encourage you, regardless of any CD, regardless of what your job is if you don't have some of these sterilization process, maybe you're at a command that doesn't require it. You may be sitting in an office at a training command or at a headquarters command. You may find yourself with the Fleet Marine Force or the Seabees, and you're like, I have my bag and this is all I use. I encourage you, talk to your chain of command, talk to your chief, talk to your LPO. I promise you, you work it out in the schedule, and you can go talk to the OR, go talk to a dental clinic, go talk to whatever assets you have in the area, and be like, can I see your morning routine, checking off your equipment? I'd like to see how you do your sterilization tests. I'd like to see how you actually function them. Go to the end. Go to the end of the day and be like, I would love to come and be educated on how to actually sterilize this equipment, not just check it off. But not only is that good for you to help maintain your proficiency, expand your horizons, you never know what command you're going to be at next, but getting hands-on, getting eyes-on, some of this stuff that you can't necessarily lock into your memory in preparation for your advancement exam, because that's why you're here today. We want to see you succeed in your advancement exam. But that is going to help lock that in for your critical thinking and your deductive reasoning when you're starting looking through these answers and you're trying to isolate which one is the correct one. So I highly encourage that. Now, once we have something sterilized, or we have the sterilization process going, you set the timer, you set the temperature, whatever the process may be, depending on the process that you decided to engage in for that specific tool, how do we monitor it? How do we know that it's working or that it's complete? Well, we have the three most common monitors in the United States Navy that we use are the physical, the chemical, and the biological, okay? Three most common: chemical, biological, and the physical. So the physical is looking at gauges, okay? It's looking at the timer. It's looking at the temperature. It's making sure that our temperature and our PSI, or the length of time, was it met per the instruction? Did we meet the appropriate numbers that we needed in the appropriate sequence? If yes, then move on, right? We also have chemical and biological. So what these are both going to have is a color-changing effect. So for chemical, it's going to be heat-sensitive to certain conditions. When it hits a certain condition, the color is going to start changing. And what you're looking at is it's not just a single point that's going to change color, but you're looking at, has it completely changed color based on whatever monitor that you're using? There's different types out there, but what you're looking for is, Is it the same color? Is it a consistent temperature across the surface or across the area that you're sterilizing? Because, again, I go back to that pizza in the oven. You put a pizza in the oven on the top, put a pizza in the oven on the bottom, they're not going to cook the exact same, right? If you put multiple things in there, different sides, maybe the inside hasn't cooked yet or anything, just like you cook anything. So again, you're looking for that color shift across the entire instrument or across the entire monitor where you know that you have an even heat dispersion and that your sterilization has come across the entire thing. Same thing for the biological. You're going to have that same color changing. But what we're also looking at is, was each area, right, was the surface area or was the entire component exposed to the appropriate amount of vapor or steam or chemical that was supposed to be dispersed across it to sterilize it. So it's the same thing. So your chemical and biological are color changing, okay? And your physical is simply you walking in and you're reading some gauges, okay? Now, outside of chemical and outside of heat, okay, certain instruments, all right, think about electric toothbrush, okay? Everyone's seen the commercial, right? Multiple times, they take an electric toothbrush and turn it on, and you see the bristles get dipped into some water, and it creates a lot of turbulence and disturbs the surface, and you see a lot of bubbles spread across the TV screen. Okay, that is, they're ultrasonic cleaning. That's what they're advertising. We can use this in our world. Now, if you're working in a dental clinic or something, you're like, yeah, I tell my patients that all the time, that these are better, or this is a good toothbrush to use, or whatever. But now, we're not just talking about dental hygiene, okay? We've talked about dental hygiene, but what we're going to talk about now is how sound waves can actually be a part of your cleaning process, your disinfection, and your sterilization processes. The way that the sound waves actually clean is when the bubbles spread across the surface and burst, that turbulence, that pressure that's being caused as the bubbles are bursting over and over and over again, starts to peel up different debris or tissue or whatever it may be, and to help start cleaning it. Now, just like anything, just like if you got stuck in some sort of a rattling cage, your bones are going to start hurt, your joints start to hurt. Well, it's the same thing. The instruments are not made to be put under constant vibration, constant pressure. So we're going to limit our ultrasonic cleaning to 5 minutes, okay? If at 5 minutes you haven't received the cleaning results that you were aiming for, then you look at another method of cleaning, and you go from there. So that's going to be your ultrasonic cleaning, outside of heat, outside of chemical. That's just a cleaning method that we can use. So we've talked about how we can monitor it. So once you've verified through one of your monitoring methods that everything in the said sterilizer has been sterilized, okay, you know you've got a case full of instruments that you're going to want to now package for tomorrow, all right? Everyone's had that moment where you have to go in, you have to prep for the next day. You've had a busy day, but work doesn't stop, right? Healthcare professionals, you never know when a medical emergency or something may happen. So you've always got to have your stuff ready. But how do we package them up? Well, we package them up in cases. So like your OR is going to have different sets. You're going to have your orthopedic set. You may have your internal medicine set. You may have your ER is going to have different kits available for advanced airways, for chest tubes, whatever it may be, suture kits. Everything has different levels of sterilization needs and disinfection needs. But we're going to make sure we package those up appropriately. We know that it also has to be stored properly. And when we already talked in a previous chapter about our medical storage and how it's so important to make sure that everything is stored properly and safely and efficiently. Well, this is no different. However, we need to make sure that things stay sterile, right? And so a heat sealed overwrap can extend a sterilization package from 30 days to 180 days. Okay, I'm going to say that again. Your heat-sealed overwrap can extend the life of a sterilization packet or instrument from 30 days out to 180 days. Okay, so that's something that you're going to want to consider. remembering, again, with numbers. I remember when I was taking a certain advancement exam that I was never in orthopedic tech. I was never a surge tech. And I remember that I had a great deal of sterilization questions on that particular advancement exam. And I was very frustrated because I was not exposed to that very often. And if you really think about it, when you're going through a little exam tip, everyone sits there and complains about instructions. Everyone complains about forms. If you're not a dental tech, you may not have a lot of dental exposure. I remember a lot of sailors complaining to me about how there were so many dental questions on there. For me, it was sterilization questions. And I realized as I moved forward that the more someone said that, oh, there was a lot of this particular subject, it may not be any more than there was before, but rather it was what you didn't know. So the questions, maybe there was only 10, but you didn't have appropriate knowledge on the subject. Maybe you read over it, but it doesn't sink in because you don't have that exposure to back it up and to kind of drive that into your common knowledge part of your test-taking skills. And so each question just is more painful, and it kind of creates that I wish I knew kind of effect. So I know there's a lot of numbers, but that was just a little study tip to throw in there. Is if you find yourself at the end of an exam and you're like, there was a lot of this, start questioning yourself. See if, you know what, I just don't really know a lot about that subject. And you start honing in on that and start preparing for the next one. All right, autoclave. What is an autoclave? An autoclave is going to be a sterilization process where it's steam under pressure, okay? Now, this is the most dependable and the economical way to do certain sterilization procedures. Now, with steam, you got to think about how some instruments may not tolerate an enormous amount of steam or an enormous amount of pressure. You're going to start thinking more about metal tools, okay? Because the metal, it will react well to steam and heat, whereas certain plastic instruments or something, they may not tolerate it as well. So steam under pressure is also called autoclave, okay? Now, I talked about how over here, we talked about the spores, okay? Bacterial spores can survive disinfectant. Well, when we talk about these different sterilization processes, a spore, so a little tidbit, can withstand 212 degrees. So that tells you a little bit about why some of these spores are going to be really hard to get rid of or to kill. So depending on what it is you're thinking about, you're looking at 212 degrees. If you don't reach that, you know that you still have a risk of some of these bacterial spores being on the surface or being on the instrument or in the environment that you're trying to sterilize. Now, Bowie Dictite test. I said this in the previous chapter. I encourage you to reference that and look over it. I encourage you again, go and ask someone to show you how that Bowie Dictite test works so that they can again, lock that in. Getting hands-on and reading and seeing it and doing it. No matter what your learning type, they're all, when you tie them all together, that right there is the ultimate. It's part of being that professional where you have to become a master of your craft and become a true healthcare professional that we should all be striving as hospital corpsmen. Again, my name is Steve with NavyBMR.com. This covered Chapter 10, Disinfection and Sterilization. I highly encourage you to check out our website, NavyBMR.com, for different audio files, other videos. You have lots of references, practice tests and quizzes, everything you need to hopefully guide you down the path for success on your Navy career. And I hope to see you next time. Thank you for joining me.